Welcome to the Lucra Podcast. I'm your host, Mindy Kinnis. My goal is to fan the flame of the dream in your heart. As my guests and I share our journeys on the path to success, you'll get an insider's look at how we got to where we are and the beliefs that create our reality. When you follow your heart path to ignite your mind and delight your spirit, you can create a lucrative life of freedom and purpose. Enjoy the show. I am here with my friend, Neil Suspansky. I'm super excited about this conversation because Neil has a ton of background, like information to offer to us. Let me tell you a little bit about him, then we'll get into all of his stories and his advice that he has for you all. So Neil has worked as an educator and coach in the financial industry. He is a professional trader and subject matter expert. He specializes in trading options and futures, one of my favorite things. He has an MBA. His BS was in economics, and his BA was in, well, and a BA in marketing. Lots of different things going on there. He has been a chief information officer and an IT pro for many, many years. Neil, thank you so much. I'm super stoked to have you on the program.
Thank you. It's great to be here, Mindy.
Can't wait for this conversation. So first and foremost, let's kind of go back a little ways in time. I would love to hear, because I don't even know this, what initially got you into trading?
So it's really interesting. I've always had, as a young child, I was always into trading. We actually had a class when I was going to grade school.
And in grade school, you had a class on trading?
A class on investing.
I'm a little jealous.
And they gave us a 100K account. And this is in the 80s, obviously. It maybe dates me a little bit, but we didn't have computers or anything like that. So we'd have to write down and physically the next day look on the newspaper, you know, what our trades did, how much we made, and we'd track it. We actually had a board in our classroom, so we'd track it. So that's how I got the initial interest into trading. And I actually won the contest, but I got interested in that. And then later on, growing up, my father was a salesman. He was a salesman, and he always wanted to get out of sales. So he would buy these programs. He'd do the real estate program. Well, anyways, he'd get these programs. They were all on cassette tapes back then. And my job as a child, actually in high school, was emptying the garbage in the house. And one time I was emptying the garbage, and I found this in the trash. There was this whole program on how to trade stock options. It was called the Wall Street Money Machine, the old Wade Cook program my father had purchased. And apparently he listened to it. He didn't like it. He threw it away. I secretly pulled that out of the trash. Didn't tell anybody. Didn't throw it away. I listened to all 32 cassette tapes front and back. And it went through how to actually sell options, selling options, doing covered calls, walk through the whole spiel of how that all worked. And I was just a young high school kid at the time, and it was very interesting to me. So that's, you know, having the interest of, you know, trading in grade school, then in high school, listening to that program. I was actually trading when I was in college. Started trading in college, just, you know, buying stocks, buying options, started selling options. Later on in college. And then when I graduated college, actually got my economics degree, got marketing, actually taught myself how to code, became a software engineer of all crazy things.
Of course you did.
And that's when, you know, I got into, you know, trade. I was actually trading while I was working. And it kind of started there. And then I had my professional career. And I would say, usually, I think it was around the financial crisis of 2007, 2008. We had the big downfall. I was actually trading, and I was doing defined risk strategies. So it didn't really hurt me that much when the markets kind of went down. But a lot of my colleagues at the time, I was an executive level at the time, they had lost millions, literally. Mm. And after the melee, after the dust had settled, they were all afraid to get in the markets. And I kept, you know, telling them, hey, just sell credit. It's easy. You can sell credit on options, real easy. And finally, they were like, okay, what are you doing? How do we do this? They didn't want to take risks. So it got to the point where we started doing these off-hour sessions where I was actually coaching them on how to trade options, selling options. And each person in the session we did like 2 a week, they would pay me $500 for each session, each person, and it's an hour long. And
Nice.
that's kind of how I got into coaching. I kind of said, okay, well, maybe I shouldn't, maybe my calling is trading and coaching people rather than working as a professional, as an executive in information technology. So I took that, also took a lot of my tech background. I still use that today, coding indicators, whatever. We do all kinds of amazing stuff. And I love to coach and help people become profitable traders now. That's kind of how I found my calling. And obviously I've been trading on my own since 2009, 2010, as a professional. That's kind of how I made it to where I'm at today.
I love that. And that doesn't surprise me at all because just knowing you, I mean, not that we even go back very far, but since I have known you, like one of the prominent things is you do really just love to help people. So I'm not shocked at all that that turned into both trading and coaching. I want to ask you though, because I think a lot of people on this program, people that listen to this program or watch it on YouTube, will be like, oh my gosh, I would love to leave my professional career or a corporate career or whatever else they're doing currently and become a professional trader. What was kind of the maybe the balance of decision making for you where you could be like, okay, now I'm good to go. I'm going to do this thing as a pro trader and not worry about, the JOB.
Yeah, that's a tough one because, and it's interesting you bring that up because when I coach people today, they really want to, one of their major things, what a lot of people want to do is they want to trade for a living. They want to can their 9 to 5 job and, tell them to go shove it, obviously,
Right.
be their own boss and trade. And while it's possible, it's not a very easy transition. There's a lot of things that go into it that can affect you. For example, I used to think trading psychology was just a joke. I never believed in it.
Oh, Neil.
And I can tell you, once you trade for a living and that's the only source of income you have, you realize real quick what trading psychology is and what it really means.
And now you got to get it handled.
How you got to get it handled exactly. But it's a tough transition. I always tell people, if you can keep your day job and become a profitable trader while you're still in your day job, that's probably the best path to take. You can certainly, then at some point when you become very confident, you can then, drop the 9 to 5 job and, start trading. But ultimately, when you're trading for a living, it's really difficult in that, well, first of all, trading is not easy to begin with, but even, if it were easy, you have days where you lose. I mean, that's just the reality of trading. You're going to make money some days and some days you're not. And the days that you don't, it's really tough because not only are you not making money to pay your bills, you're actually going the opposite direction. You're actually losing money. And it's like, if I would have just taken today off, I wouldn't have at least lost money.
Right. At least I'd be at zero.
At least I'd be at zero. I mean, and that's the thought. So it's kind of a difficult path, but I think it is achievable for everybody. If you have a regimented plan and you follow that plan, there is a path to do that. And I've actually pro bono, I had this gal a few years back. She was an administrator at Ohio State University. And I think her first name was LaCorey. And she came to me and she said that she wasn't making very much money at Ohio State. She had to feed her 2 kids. Her boyfriend had just left her, and her mom was ill, and she was caring for her mom. And she said she just didn't have time to do all these things, and she wasn't making enough money. And she was begging me to help her become a trader. So I actually took that pro bono, and I took her under my wing, and I got her trained up. Took about a year. And she's a professional trader,
Oh, that's awesome.
super happy. And it is possible. There is a path for that. I think it's even easier now because you have all these funded accounts and prop firms out there.
Yep.
Transition's a lot easier now than what it used to be. But I think it is possible for everybody. It just takes a little bit of organization, and you got to have the right strategy and plan to do it.
That is awesome. I love that. Just like, you can do it if you stick with it. You just need the right discipline, psychology, et cetera. Now, do you have a favorite something to trade? Favorite stock, favorite futures contract?
Yeah, so it's interesting. People are probably going to be like, you like that? So I love trading the NQ, the NASDAQ.
Oh, no, I totally understand. That's one of my favorites.
It's the Ferrari of futures. That's what I call it, because it's whippy. That thing,
totally. It's crazy.
I mean, you can be, you know, one contract on a mini, you can be up a couple $100, and a second later, you're down a couple hundred.
Or a thousand.
Yeah, who wants to? I mean, it's all this excitement. You got to have the excitement. But I actually cut my teeth on the NASDAQ, and that the NASDAQ futures, they kind of respect the levels pretty well. But it's very quick, very quick.
But
moving.
You cut your teeth on that? Like, you started on that?
Started on
that's the NQ insanity.
Futures. It was crazy. And here's the thing. If you can trade the NQ, you can probably trade
You're
that.
Good. You're
that's
good
the way
to
that
go.
Thing goes. It's like herding cats sometimes, it seems like. But yeah, I love to trade the NQ. It goes very, very quick. I think also if you're doing any type of prop firm trading, you have to do chandelier exits because of the trailing thresholds. And with the NQ, it's easy to scalp. You can scalp, and you don't have that trailing threshold come and get you. So I love the NQ. I've scalped that for years. It's not one you really want to hold for a long time because it moves so much. But
yeah, it'll come back against you.
It's beautiful for scalping. That's all I've got to say.
That what cracks me up so much is that that's where you started. And like, I always tell my students, I'm like, do not start on the NASDAQ because that'll just eat you up and spit you out and you'll be done. Your account will be blown up. So the fact that you started there cracks me up. So you mentioned funded accounts, prop firms, et cetera. And this was like the main bulk of why I wanted to have you on this program, because you and I have both become funded traders with Apex. And you also have done one with Top Step. So let me ask you, though, as a pro trader, what was the inspiration to even go into the prop firm world?
There were a couple things. Number one, so my old path for trading success when I would coach people, it was going the futures route, because I think futures, there's a huge advantage, especially tax purposes.
100%.
If you don't have the pattern day trade rule, you have all these things you don't have to worry about. So I think for starters, that those futures are good to start with. But my initial strategy and plan that I would coach people on is set up a futures account, trade in sim or paper trade. Once you have 3 months of profitable trades every week, you take your total week and you're profitable every week for 3 months. Then you switch to micros, and then you have another 3 months of profitable every single week. And then you go to minis, you size up. Well, with the prop firms, when they came in, it's kind of an interim step as I see it. You have the sim trading, and then you have the prop firms, and then you can go to micros and then minis. And I think the prop firms, because that was another interim step and because I was coaching people on it, I thought, well, if I'm going to coach people on this, I better understand how it works. And
to know what's going on here.
It's a better way to do that than to physically take the challenge and do it myself. And that, you know, I think Apex, the first six accounts I had, I think I blew up.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit, because actually that's where you and I connected at first. We were like, wait, we both have blown up multiple Apex accounts, but like, we sort of, I mean, to an extent, you obviously much more than me, but like, we sort of know what we're doing. And yet we still kept blowing up these things. We were kind of laughing about it on Telegram together. What was it that was happening? I mean, especially for you, because like, you're way, way, way ahead in this game than I am.
Well, for me, I mean, I'm a profitable trader. I just wasn't used to the trailing threshold intra-trade, I think, was tough for me to grasp.
Yeah.
Because if you let the trade go, and let's say I have one account, I started at 50,000 and I blew it at 50,300. So I made $300.
Even though you're profitable, still the balance is up. Yeah, that trailing threshold.
I had a couple trades that were big trades that came back. And
I have done the same thing.
Move that threshold up. It was not good. So I think, for me, it was, those types of things, those trades were probably the toughest thing that I had to overcome. But it's a different type of trading. I always tell, when I tell people now, they always ask about the prop firms and how to get past the the combines or the tests, whatever you want to call it. I always tell them it's almost like trading, you know, at a disadvantage. You're almost trading with like one hand tied behind your back. I mean, literally, because you're forced to take profits early, maybe when you don't want to. You have to do the chandelier exits.
Let's define that if people don't know what that is.
So a chandelier exit would be where you set a target and you try to get your exits to exit right at the target. So instead of letting it go past and then come back down and then exiting, if you did like a trailing stop, chandelier is you pick a target that you know you can hit and you try to hit that target. So
Why
you
is it
don't
called
have,
chandelier? You know?
you know, I'm not sure. I'm not
Because I don't
sure.
know either, and I'd
You
be
could probably look it
curious.
up. I tell you, I'm not sure. I've heard that a lot. It's a chandelier. I mean, it's just maybe because chandelier has all these different points and you pick a point and you get at the top of the point. That's the
Okay,
idea.
then I can see that. Can see
Logical.
that,
That's a good question, though.
yeah. That's exactly what I'm always talking about to my students. If our balance of our trailing threshold has been going down over a certain number of days, and we want that to kind of boost back up, I'm like, how do you do that? You set your target, you let it fill at that place. You don't let it, you know, jostle around. You just get out, take all that unrealized profit, turn it into realized instead of having extra unrealized on top of it. So now when you trade, do you use NinjaTrader for Apex, or what platform are you using?
So I use both actually, and I
Okay.
have both. I've done both. I've done Tradavate and NinjaTrader. So that's the other thing, is I thought if I'm going to coach people on this, I better do both.
I did that too, and I did not like Tradavate.
See, for me, it's the reverse.
See, that's not surprising though, because you're much more like analytical thinking about this stuff. But I also know you use TradeStation in your normal life. So there's all these different platforms. Which one is your favorite? Is it Tradavate or TradeStation, or which one do you like best?
I like for futures, I like Tradavate, but since NinjaTrader acquired them, the
Yes.
stability of their platform has not been good lately.
Mm.
They upped some of their pricing on some of their free indicators they used to have. So it's kind of like, yeah, it's going downhill just like anything when they get acquired. Thinkorswim's going to have the same problem in no come November when Schwab takes them over or fully integrates their system. So you know, that's just the way it is. But yeah, I would say for futures, Tradavate, NinjaTrader, when I first saw the dome, it's
Oh,
like
it's the
the
worst.
well, it's the multiplicative inverse of every other dome. I
It's
mean,
terrible.
most domes you have the price is solid in the background and the price will move up and down on the ladder. With NinjaTrader, it's the price is solid and the background, all the prices will move in the background. So it's the inverse of what you would expect in a dome. But every other dome works that way except for NinjaTrader. And if you call NinjaTrader, they actually have a solution for it. It's a third-party solution, but you can only execute that once. And once you do it, they can't reverse it out, they tell you. And you can't do it for the prop trading. So I had to learn to trade on the crazy dome or Dom, whatever you want to call it, on NinjaTrader, and it I've gotten used to it now.
It's pretty bad though.
It is bad. I mean, the other thing too is like dragging orders. Like you put an order out there. You know, most trading Doms, you can actually drag the order and move it. This you actually have to click on it and then move it.
And
And
click it again.
it's not. Little clunky, but you can get around it. It does work. But yeah, I would say Tradavate, I like that a lot better. I had been trading on that prior to doing any prop firms too, so I'm more used
Got
to that.
it.
I'm still trying to figure out on NinjaTrader how to set up bracket orders the right way. I'm still struggling a little bit
Oh,
with
well, I
setup.
can help you with that. That's my favorite thing about it, the ATM strategies. I'm like, let's set these things up. And actually, like regular bracket orders, Ninja's not good at them. I've had lots of students, they're like, oh, I just got busted on this thing. And I'm like, use ATMs, like set everything how you want it. So that part is fairly easy. That leads me into my next question, actually. Do you have any favorite, and I would say specifically in terms of Apex, you know, getting your account funded, not letting the price action get too far away from where you're at, do you have any favorite setups that you like to use?
I do. So I'm big into indicators, as you are probably well aware. And I love indicators that are non-lagging indicators. Now, most people will say all indicators lag, right? That's true to an extent, but there are indicators that you can develop and use that use market internals. Like I have a VOLD, one on VOLD ratio. I have one on dollar sign tick. And I use moving average, the five EMA on the dollar sign TICK chart. You're trading the ES, that is gold. Every time you cross that on the tick chart, you're above zero, that's bullish, and vice versa on the bearish side. Those are some good little tips and tricks you could use to at least stay in trades longer or maybe get out of trades when they start to go against you before they actually go against you.
You showed me once this awesome indicator that is available from Top Trade Tools, your company, along with Mark Helwig. And it was so cool because you actually took away the entire price action. So we couldn't even see the candles. And you were like, what would happen if we just used the indicator showing what we can see and then decided to go long or short? And it was actually an awesome trade. I mean, maybe it just worked out like so great that time or that day, but I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing, which is so important to me because I'm not a huge indicator person. I think a lot of people get just over complex with trying to have a million things on their charts, and then they get confused and distracted and they don't actually end up being all that helpful. But the ones that you guys create, pretty solid and awesome. Do you have a favorite?
Top Trade Tools. So Mark has a ton of indicators, Mark Helwig. And then I have a ton of indicators.
You guys both are like indicator kings.
That's how we met each other. We're like, oh, you have an indicator for this. I have one for this. And we're like trading indicators. And Top Trade Tools, we've developed a lot of indicators. There's thousands of indicators. Mark probably has twice as many as I have, ironically enough. Many of those indicators you'll never ever see because either they don't work or we don't trade with them. We only take the best ones and the ones that we use to trade. Those are the ones we put out there for everybody and make available. Now, with that said, you're asking for my most favorite. It'd actually be that buying and selling power indicator that you were talking about. That's my favorite. We actually had a lot of people, a lot of interest in this indicator. We hadn't really sold it up until now. It's one of the best indicators. It's non-lagging. There's some amazing trades you can get from this indicator, and you're trying to pass a combine or get your account funded through Apex or whatever prop firm you're using. This is a phenomenal tool.
Well, I can speak to that because you generously gave it to me so I could test it out. And it's been so great. I've showed it to my students and been like, you guys, look at how easy this is. If it's red, do this. If it's green, do this. And it just makes it much more simple. I tend to be very stubborn in those things. And I'm like, oh, I kind of want to figure it out on myself, but listening to Mark a lot, he's like, why? If the thing is there for you and can help you, like, why not use what you have there? So I'm super grateful for that. Let's talk a little bit about Apex versus TopStep. They're both funding companies. You have gotten through the evaluations or the combines on both, so gotten both sides funded. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about some of the differences, because I've never used TopStep, but I know that's like a very big popular one, but I'd love to hear some of your feedback on seeing both sides.
Yeah, so I think TopStep was the first one I passed. And TopStep actually had, there's like two tests you have to pass. You pass one where you have a threshold, you have a target, depending on what size account you take, you have a threshold and a target that you got to meet. And then once you do that, you have another choice where you can go straight to a funded account, but it's very limited. You don't get as much of a return. Or you can take another test. And if you take this other secondary test, there's the trailing threshold kind of goes away on your funded account. It makes it a lot easier if you can pass the test a second time on their combine. So it's a little tricky, probably a little tougher to navigate if you've never done TopStep, understanding what those differences are and which is best for you can be a little challenging, especially if you've never done it. But there are specific advantages to both directions that you take. Also, they have, I think it's the first, they might have upped it. I think when I did it was the first 10,000. There was no commissions on a funded account. They might have upped that since then because a lot of these prop firms are competing with each other, but they did have that threshold. And there's, depending on what path you took, I think it was either 10,000 or 15,000. So if you took the test again, you actually had more with less commission. So there's all these trade-offs on it for Top Step and depending on what path you took. Now, Apex, on the other hand, they do the KISS, right? Keep it simple, stupid. They have one test. You have to get a certain, you have to hit a certain target before you lose a certain amount with a trailing threshold. And really, that's about it. I mean, there's not... It's pretty simplistic. It's a simple model.
Yeah, it's that, and you need to trade 7 days.
And okay. 7 days, yeah, the number of
that's
days.
It.
And top, I think Top Step was 10 days when I did it, if I recall.
Okay.
You had to trade 10 days. And they also had thresholds on, I forgot to mention this on Top Step, you couldn't have more than 40% of your target be in one given day. And I think Apex, I thought Apex had something like that.
They have that for the funded accounts, yeah. But it's, I think it's 30%, and it's only during performance accounts, not during your evaluation.
Okay. So, yeah. So I remember seeing that in one of their webinars, because that's how, that's the other thing that's weird about Apex is it just seems like they should just have like maybe a video that just goes through all the rules, but they have all these, you have to go to their help area and you have to watch all these webinars,
the FAQs, yeah,
there. And you're like listening for an hour to get one little rule. It's like, oh my gosh. But once you get it, it's pretty simple on the Apex side, and I would say that's probably an easier one to get funded in, and I also think it's probably more generous and more lucrative once you do get funded. So that would be the differences, the main differences between those two. But they're both very, very popular. And
yeah.
I think Apex, prior, when I first started, they didn't have Tradivate. They literally got Tradivate while I was trying to get the first evaluation.
Yeah, that wasn't that long ago.
It wasn't that long ago. And I think the reason why, I'm going to blame the reason why I failed on some of those is I was trying to get used to NinjaTrader and their trading platform. So
you can totally blame that, because I would say the first, like, I don't know, two or three that I blew up right away in Apex was exactly that. I was coming over from TradeStation, had only ever used TradeStation. That's all I knew. And then I'm like, oh, I'm sure I can figure this out. So I don't like go in the sim or anything on Ninja. I just start straight up in my Apex, like the real account. And let's just say that didn't go well. I didn't even know how to do anything. I didn't know how to place an order. I didn't know how to exit, nothing. So I had to learn that too, and definitely failed some along the way because of that.
Yes. And it's, I'll tell you, the journey is tough. I mean, you'll make a lot of mistakes. Like I don't think I told you this, Mindy. I actually had an account. I was within $300 of funding it, getting it funded. And I accidentally canceled it on the dashboard. And then the next day, there's like, I think 2 days before it was due, it disappeared. And I was like, where'd it go? And I was bummed. I called them. They're like, yeah, you canceled it. And I'm like, oh, what did I do that for? I mean, it was just, you know.
When you were like that close.
It was really close. It's like, I would never cancel that. So I canceled it. I canceled the wrong account. And yeah, I made some really bad mistakes. But you can get through it. That actually wasn't, I mean, it was a bad mistake, but it was good in that I had to start all over. And I'm like, okay, well, this will prove that I can actually do this again.
You had to start all over and like focus.
That was my first one. I was like, yeah, I got this now. And then, you know, and then I've had other accounts. I had another account where I was within $99. And then.
And what happened?
I was up $200 on the day. And I thought, okay, I'm going to shut it down because the price action that day was really slow and bad. And I said, I'm just going to take one more mini. Trade.
Oh,
put on a mini. And I started to lose. And then I was like, I got out of that. And I was like, well, I got to get that back. Doubled the mini. And then next thing I know,
the whole thing is gone.
Like, I'm down $1,000. And I'm like, all right, well, at this point, it doesn't matter. I might as well just double down. And if I blow it, who cares? And I ended up blowing the account.
That I have done that so many times. If something like I'm just trying to dig out of a hole, or I'm like close, and then it's like, At this point, I just say throw a Hail Mary and see what happens, because like you can always get another one. You can always reset, you know, it's fine. But oh, I've totally been in those situations, like so close. And then it, oh, just go a little too big, too fast. Ah, so frustrating. Well, I want to ask you, I want to kind of shift gears a little bit and talk about money mindset type of stuff, because that's really like most of what I talk about on this podcast. But first, before we kind of jump into that, you have anything else to say on just trading specifically or Apex, anything along those lines?
Yeah, I'll just, the one thing I would always say, because I'm pretty passionate about trading. And actually, I'm looking right here as the market's really blowing upward right now.
I know
now.
You're like, oh, why am I on this podcast now? Like, I should be trading.
I'm like shaking. See this? No, I would just say trading can be pretty difficult at times. And if you are in the trading game, be persistent. And, you know, I firmly believe that everybody can be a profitable trader. Now, it's not going to be something that's just given to you. You got to do your studying and you got to do the work to get there, but stick with it. I mean, if you really want it, I think you can do it. I had, you know, like I said, the gal I helped, her name was LaCorey. She's a professional trader now. She's paying it forward.
That is awesome.
So, you know, if you are in that rut or you get to the point where you're like, yeah, I don't think I can do this, I wouldn't give up too easily. Maybe change your mindset, change your ideas, change the way you are thinking of it, and give it another shot. Because you know, I almost gave up many. I blew up my account 3 times in this doing this journey. So I mean, it happens. I mean, that's just the way it goes. Now you don't have to blow up your account to be a successful trader. I would argue, don't do that. But I almost gave up several times. Like I had my first trade. I was actually right out of school. I bought Lazon Systems in the late 90s, and I think I had $7,000 to my name, and I bought $14,000 worth of the shares of the stock, and $7,000 was margin, and it was a great company. It was Metro Detroit. That was where I worked. I knew people that worked there, and you know, it was a $17 stock, and I knew it was going to go up, and they did IT services. I thought, this is a great company. And it was like 2 weeks into the trade, they had accounting fraud. And one day it went from 17 down to 12. I said, oh, it'll come back.
Famous last words.
Well, and then I got a margin call. I had to come up with thousands of dollars. So I was scrounging around to pay the margin call. And then eventually I kept saying it was going to come back, and it never did. They ended up filing bankruptcy and then actually going out of business. Then ironically enough, my broker, which at the time was just Ameritrade, gave me $1 to close all my shares to get them off the books.
Wow.
$1. $14,000 to $1.
And that's amazing.
It wasn't even mine. So, but yeah, that happens. I mean, you're going to probably, I'm not going to say you're going to probably blow accounts, but it's easy to blow accounts in trading. Just be very careful in what you're doing. And, you know, trade and sim, use these prop firms for what they are. I mean, it's a great learning ground. If you can pass a combine, you can be a profitable trader, because you're already a profitable trader to pass their tests. Right. Even with one hand tied behind your back, so you're forced to trade the way they want you to trade. So it's really hard, actually. So if you can pass that, then you can definitely be a profitable trader.
That is awesome. I love that. And I will say one more thing about your stories about blowing them up. I almost in a way think that that could be, not necessarily, but could be a good thing. Because I know, like, Hubert and I talk about this a lot. He has never, you know, technically blown a whole account. And I hadn't either. I mean, other than my Apex evals. And for me, that almost turned into a little like I don't need to blow this account. I've never blown an account. And I thought I was better than I was at that time. Whereas with people who do blow accounts, you really are like, okay, because it hits home, it hits hard. And it's like, oh, what do I need to do differently? I almost think that's a better learning experience. I mean, as probably not fun as that was to go through, it probably propelled you much faster than me thinking I was like hot shit and actually not being, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah. Well, totally. I mean, I don't know if you ever read anything on Ray Diallo.
Yeah. I've read his books.
He has some really good stuff, but you know, he's a firm believer, and as am I, that you learn from your mistakes. You're going to have falls, and that's 100%. When you actually learn. You learn the most when you fall. So I totally agree. And again, I proudly say I blew up my account 3 times. You know, I did futures too. Futures, I had a 15K account. First month, I made 30,000 on that 15K, and then nice. blew the 45K the next month. I remember Mindy telling people, what's so hard about trading futures?
Well, see, it's that overconfidence. It is that overconfidence. I have experienced the same thing. I'm like, I got this. I'm awesome at this. And then it's like the market will teach you that you maybe don't have it.
It will humble you 100%.
It definitely will. Okay, that is awesome. Let's talk a little bit about money and money mindset. I ask everyone that comes onto my show, how do you personally define wealth? What is wealth to you?
So I would say wealth would be your accumulation or abundance of assets or valuable assets. And it may not just be tangible things. It could be ideas and your thoughts and your education. Because I think that, you know, most people think you're very wealthy because you have a lot of money. Well, I'm an economics major. I'll never forget this. In my economics course in college, we were talking about wealth of nations, and the econ professor said, who do you think is better off? Someone that lives in China that has a gross domestic product per capita of, I think it was like 18,000 at the time. And this is probably in the 90s. So these numbers are probably not accurate for today, but this That's is what okay. it was back then. And then they compared it to Canada. Someone living in Canada, I think it was 27,000 per year. And the question was asked, you know, who's better off? And almost everybody in the class right away was saying Canada. And then some people were saying China. And the professor got us to think not only in monetary, but also in, you know, do you have freedom in Canada? Yeah, you do. Do you have freedom in China? Maybe not as much. So when I think of wealth, it's not just tangible monetary perspective, but it's also, you know, are you free to do what you want to do? Do you have the knowledge to go where you want to in life? I'm a big believer. You got to be doing something that you want to do. And, you know, sometimes a lot of these people were taught, you know, we go to school, we get a good degree, and then we go work for someone else. And that may not be the best path for everybody. You know, there's also entrepreneurs out there. If you have some good ideas, you should run with those. And, you know, I'm teaching my own children and my kids on that same thing. I always tell them, you know, go get the education, but at the same time, don't lock down your dreams and goals on what you want to do. You should always have some type of backup plan, because working for someone else, I was a, you know, Fortune 200 CIO, and I can tell you that's not really security. Working for someone else is not security. I mean,
nope.
At any point, they can get rid of you. They can get rid of your job. I mean, it's a false sense of security. But for me, the wealth is what you have, what your drive is, what you know. It's not necessarily all monetary.
And thank you. You are proving the point of my whole show, in that wealth is this whole expansive thing. It's not just about how much money do I have in the bank. So that is awesome. As a final question, not final question, but final thing that I ask everybody on the show, this is going to be kind of like rapid fire. We'll just go through these real quick. That is the acronym HERB, or if you're British, you could call it HERB, whichever you prefer. H stands for habits. What are some of the habits that you have that like get you ready to trade in the morning, get you in your best state?
For me, it's I got to make sure I have enough sleep.
Yes, 100%.
If I'm tired and I'm dragging, I'm not a very nice person to be around. Number one. Number two, it's you got to get in the mindset. It's kind of like I played a lot of athletics in high school and college. And, you know, you got to get in the right mindset, get your game face on, right? And you got to get that on. having the proper night's rest and being ready to go is probably for me one of the habits that I get into. I go to bed early, get up early.
That's, what time? What time? Like, what's early for you?
5 a.m.
Okay, I'm right there with I'm actually going to 4:30 now. But you know, because I'm on Pacific time zone, all the stuff is happening like way before I wake up. So I'm like, I got to go to bed at 8:30 now and get up at 4:30. It's a little early, so I'm right there with you.
Yep.
Yep. Let's move on to the E.
Yep, I got that early. Well, I mean, it's funny because my kids, they're younger. They stay up late. It's like, why are you always going to bed so early, Dad? And it's like,
I don't have to. And I totally, like, I am a night owl. That is my nature. I've always stayed up late. But now as a trader, I'm like, that doesn't work anymore. Unless I stayed up late and like tried to trade the European sessions like overnight. But that's just crazy. That would ruin my whole life. So moving on to the E. The E stands for environment. How do you set up your environment for the greatest possible success?
So for me, I know you see all these pictures of traders and you see all these screens and sometimes the screens are like coming down and like they're almost going to fall on them. I don't do any of that. I like to be mobile, but I do need about 3 screens. In my mobile setup, I have a laptop and I have 2 screens that I take with me if I'm traveling. That's the beauty of trading. You can take it wherever there's an internet connection.
Yep.
Trade. And then when here in my home office, I have 3 monitors. I have a 32-inch screen. I have a 27-inch touch screen, and then I have a 50-inch TV.
Ooh, I'm jealous.
And the 50-inch TV, you would laugh at this. It's the cheapest, I call it a throwaway TV, the cheapest TV I could find because it's just a monitor at the end of the day. I'm not watching TV on it. I think it was like less than $200 for this 50-inch TV that I put up on my thing. But I have 9 charts up there, and I actually have it up here. I can look up and I can at any point look at track 9 different stocks, see what they're doing, or futures, whatever I put up there. And it's kind of just always there, and it works out really, really well. I love the way I have this set up here.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. I'm always like, I need a bigger screen. And mine's like a 40 something. I don't know. It's like pretty big already, but I still need more space. So I get it. The R in herb stands for resources. That could be books, courses, programs, whatever, any kind of resource that you have found particularly helpful that you might suggest to others.
I would say there's a lot of good books out there.
Yeah. Like what are some of your favorites?
I like, Trading in the Zone.
Yep.
Mark Douglas. And then, I like the Turtles, Learning the Turtle Strategy. That's a really good book there. Some of the Ray Dalio stuff is really good. I mean, even the non-trading stuff, a lot of his just mindset, and the way that, he thinks of the world, I think is pretty amazing. But I'll be honest with you, Mindy, I'm not really a bookworm. I kind of cheat and I listen to books.
Well, that's okay. I mean, you're still going through the same material.
Yeah,
so
but I've never been much of a reader. Partially because I read really slow. It was funny when they were teaching people how to read, we would always read out loud. And I always thought when people would read to themselves, they would read just like they would out loud. And that's how I read. But most people read a lot faster to themselves. I started figuring this out when I was like in 6th, 7th grade. Like, I got to figure out how become a faster reader. But I'm not a fast reader. It takes me forever to read books, but I like listening to them. I do read stuff from time to time, but those are probably my favorite books that I listen to. But I do a lot of studying myself as well. I'll look at charts and, you know, I design indicators, and then I go back and say, okay, is it lagging? Can I tweak it here? What can I add to it? How can I make it better? How would it have worked during the COVID crash versus the 2008 crash? And I'll analyze stuff like that for hours. I used to get up, you know, 5 a.m., go out on my deck in the summers, and I'd be there on a Saturday, you know, all the way up till noon or 1, just studying the markets. Watching.
You're like a mad scientist in your little like trading, your trading laboratory.
It is. I mean, I'd go out there and that was my happy space, but I would live and breathe trading. And I think, you know, again, like I said, if you're going to be good at anything, especially trading, you got to devote the time. You got to put the hours in. It's not just going to be given to you.
That is a true story. The final letter in our acronym ERB is B. That stands for beliefs. What are some of your beliefs or worldviews that have maybe contributed to the level of success that you have found?
Well, I think I mentioned this earlier on this interview here. I do believe everyone can be a success in whatever they're doing. If it's trading, if it's playing that sport, if it's achieving that goal in life, whatever that is, I believe that anybody can do whatever they want. If they put their mind to it, they can do it. And this is a big thing with my kids as well. I try to push and educate them on that. Even when things seem like there's no way you can achieve that, I wouldn't necessarily believe that. You push hard enough, you work hard enough. I think there is the ability for anybody to achieve what they want to. Trading is very, very, very challenging. It's very challenging. There's a phrase out there that we always say, it can be simple, but it's never easy.
Yes.
Simplify it, but it's never easy, no matter what you say. And it'll humble you. Like I said, you start trading futures, you get up 30K and you're like, oh, what's so hard about this? And then the next month.
you see what's so hard about it.
Get it all handed to you. But yeah, I mean, it's, I think if you have the belief and you have a goal that you want to achieve, it is possible. I believe that that is possible for anybody to achieve. They just have to put their mind to it and they have to focus. And, it's like Michael Jordan. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie that he was in, The Last Dance, or they did a documentary on him.
Yep.
There's a scene in there. I think it's, I don't know what part it is, part three maybe, where he's in there and this is the part where he's coming back from he retired, went to baseball, and it's his first year back in 1997. And, he's in the final, I think it was game five or game seven of the NBA finals, arguably his biggest game of his career. And 10 minutes before, he's in the back before the tip off. And you know what he's doing? He's focusing with the security detail on a quarters game, and he wants to win this quarters game. And it's like, that's what champions do. They're laser focused, living in the now, focused on what they're doing. He didn't even care about 10 minutes. He was going to be walking out in probably his greatest game ever, or his most important game ever. And I think that's what you do. And for the record, I'm not a big Michael Jordan fan, but I thought that was very interesting when I saw that in the documentary. And they don't really say much about it, but that's what champions do. They're so laser focused in what they're doing and what they want to accomplish. If it's a quarters game, if it's playing basketball, or if it's trading, whatever it is, you got to be focused. You got to be dedicated. You got to put your time in, and you work hard at it, anyone can be successful.
Cheers to all of that, for sure. Now, if people who are listening or watching are interested in learning more about you and what you do and some of the indicators that we mentioned, where might you send them?
Probably the best place to go would be to www.toptradetools.com. We have a website out there. We have a lot of indicators. We also, if you were to contact us via email, you could also send an email to support@toptradetools.com. We have a lot of good stuff out there. A lot of this is designed to make trading easier for the average trader. We take hedge fund quality tools and we use them ourselves, but also we want to share the wealth. So we make them available to the general public through that website.
Okay, so I can attest to that because I've used some of them and you guys are awesome over there. Totally recommend everything that you have going on. So I will link to that in the show notes. You can find all the show notes at lucra.com and all the links you need to the email address that Neil mentioned as well. So Neil, this has been so awesome. And we actually didn't even know we were going to do it this way when we started, but I'm so happy that you kind of asked and suggested it. So thank you so much for your time and for being on the show. This is great.
Yes, thank you so much. And I appreciate you having me on.
Thanks ever so much for listening. Whenever you're ready, here are three ways I can help you create a more lucrative life. One, subscribe for free to my lucrative newsletter for weekly insights on business, money, and mindset. Two, join Club Lucra to connect with a like-minded community so that you don't have to go it alone. Three, Work with me one-on-one to chart the course from where you are to where you want to be. Everything you need is at lucra.com. That's LUCRA.com. Lucra, where wealth equals well-being.